Welcome to the Dirt on Turf podcast. I'm your host, Chris Toppings. This is going to be part two of the Darren Waters episode. I appreciate all the feedback on the first episode. I hope for more feedback with this part two. And we'll talk more about the ending of part one, about me being interviewed by someone. And I can't think of a better person than him to do it. We might put a Twitter poll out and get some questions from everybody for me to answer. I appreciate the continued support, and I hope you enjoy. Thank you. Before we get started, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Netting Professionals, Sod Solutions, Agstone, Benchmark Tool and Supply, and Turf Mend. Right now you're going to hear some of those. Please give them a listen, give them a follow. We want to thank them for their support. Without them, this would not be possible. And we appreciate the continued support and patience. But let's give a listen to some of these sponsors.
For almost 30 years, Sod Solutions has worked with top researchers and universities to develop and release cutting-edge turf grass varieties. We have positioned these grasses as the most sold patented varieties in the world, varieties that benefit the golf, sports, residential, and commercial industries. With that success, we have launched a new segment called Sod Solutions Professionals. Sod Solutions Pro is focused on assisting clients through the entire process to provide a beautiful, streamlined, and successful grassing project. We offer robust professional services featuring specification writing, turf grass selection consulting, product sourcing, delivery and installation, and maintenance solutions. Visit sodsolutionspro.com and let us work for you.
Netting Professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Netting Professionals specialize in the design, fabrication, and installation of custom nettings for backstops, batting cages, dugouts, scoreboards, overhead netting, barrier netting, sideline netting, golf course netting, and much more. They also design and install digital graphic wall padding, windscreen, turf protectors, dugout benches, dugout cubbies, and more. Netting Professionals continues to provide quality products and services to many recreational, high school, college, and professional fields, facilities, courses, and stadiums throughout the country. Netting Professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Contact them today at 844-620-2707 or info@nettingpros.com. Visit them online at www.nettingpros.com or check out Netting Pros on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn for all their latest products and projects. And we're back for part two of the podcast with Darren Waters. And what we were talking about your wife got a job in Florida and it was going to be equal to both of y'all's salaries. And it was a heck of an opportunity. You'd had some management changes at Duke and it just really was time for you to, you felt like maybe let's say, tell your wife, yeah, go ahead and apply for it. See what happens. You don't know. And end up getting it. Y'all moved to Florida. From there, explain the next steps.
During the time when we were planning on moving, you know, she had accepted the job and stuff, and she actually started. She probably worked there for about 6 months before I moved there. And in the meantime, we were building a house in Florida. And so I stayed at Duke University to help finish out, you know, the season and stuff, the transition, because the guy that ended up taking over for me was somebody who was already working there, another supervisor. So, you know, I helped him as much as I could before I left because, you know, I wanted him to succeed, you know, and stuff. And I was very much, you know, like I said, I loved the athletic department and stuff. So I wanted to put them in the best opportunity that I could. And so I stayed back for, you know, about 6 months. Well, and, you know, obviously they were building our house. So Well, when I got to Florida, you know, I enjoyed the first couple of months there, you know, did all the Florida stuff, you know, hung at the pool, went to the beach, you know, enjoyed the Florida sun. And then, you know, I went out and started trying to find a job. Well, where we'd actually built our house, we were on the edge of Schrader Manatee Ranch, 28,000 acre ranch. Well, they actually had a turf farm, and, you know, it was actually one of those things where, you know, the stars just aligned for me again. And I went down to, you know, to their HR department and, you know, just to see if they had anything, you know, available that what I would be interested in. And the lady said, hold on, let me, you know, let me call down, make a call. And so she made a call. Well, the manager of the turf farm come down and, you know, I carried my resume and he looked over my resume and stuff. And he said, you know, I've been thinking about hiring an assistant. And so we spent, you know, the afternoon together, and before I left there that day, he said, you know, can you start, you know, Monday? And so I had my second job there. So, and believe it or not, as much as I love Duke University, I love that place just as good. Never thought I would, but I really did. I enjoyed it. It was a 28,000 acre ranch, but we had a tree farm and a shrub farm, and we had mining, and we had, you know, everything. I mean, the turf farm was, we had 10,000 acres of bahia grass, which we also had cattle, which was grazed on those. We had 5,000 acres of St. Augustine, a mixture of the, you know, varieties. And we had 1,000 acres of Bermuda 419. And then we had probably 100 acres of zoysia. And then we actually, while I was there, we started, I actually went to the extension place in Tifton Turf Farms and picked up some of the first paspalum, and we started growing paspalum there during my time at the farm and stuff. So I worked there for another 2 to 3 years. Yeah, right at almost 3 years. And but in the meantime, we had our son, and so we were starting family. So that was kind of my wife accepted a job with GE, and then we started moving. So, and once she started with GE, we actually moved every 2 to 3 years. So that was actually, I turned into a stay-at-home dad from then on, because we were constantly on the move. We averaged 3 years to stop. So till he was, oh gosh, till he got to high school almost. Well, right before high school, junior high. So, but that was my next stop, was working at a turf farm.
Man, like y'all, we talked about some stories. Didn't y'all? Y'all had a bunch of hogs out there would be a problem sometimes.
Yes. Florida has plenty of wild hog problems. I mean, it's amazing that they can, the destruction that a wild hog can do in one night is, you know, he can wreck a, you know, it's usually if you see one, you see five. I mean, they can wreck an acre of turf in one night. And you know, on a turf farm, it's the damage they do, you have to basically just rip it up and start over. Because it's so, you know, it's where they rooted up. You know, it's just in such disarray, you can't repair. You have to rip it up and start over. Right. And so that was, and we really had hog problems because we also rented land out. And one of our biggest fields were our Bermuda, and our part of our St. Augustine was also land that we rented to farmers that started growing, that would grow your first tomatoes that you see, you know, basically the first tomatoes that come off a year, you know, and they get shipped up, you know, north, that's where they're grown at and stuff. So when the tomatoes come in, also the hogs came in. So there was times in the year where it was just really bad because, you know, I mean, between that, then we also had, you know, we had, I don't remember how many acres of orange trees we had. We were a supplier of Tropicana orange juice there at the time. The hogs would just run rampant in that area.
Yeah. And so, on some other questions, I always ask people these questions. What would you say your proudest accomplishment is, personally or professionally or both? From a professional side, yeah, let's do both. I mean, I talk to you every day, so I can ask you. I don't feel bad asking you both. So. Personal and professional. Professionally, in your turf career, what's your proudest accomplishment?
Well, I would say in my professional career was really, I mean, it was within my first couple of years at Duke University. I mean, obviously the situation I went through with my first year there, you know, that, you know, being told that, you know, you got 1 year to get it done or you're out the door. And I mean, and I went on to win, you know, I mean, I was man of the year of in the athletic department 1 year and stuff. I mean, so I would just say it's probably in my first year or two. I mean, there's nothing like, I mean, one of the things that I used to love is that time of the year when you would come, when we first kick off those first couple of games and stuff. And I can still remember I'd go to Westgate and kind of stand there at the wall, because, you know, Wallace Way Stadium is a bowl. It's down in a bowl. And, you know, stand there at the wall and have the people come in the West Gate, and they would walk down the concourse there and walk over to the wall. And when they would see the field, and, you know, they would go, oh, wow, look at the field, you know, and just, you know, that just, you know, that just makes you just brim with pride a little bit when, you know, when that would happen. I can just remember, you know, just people, person after person coming over, you know, because, you know, you look all around, you know, things are nice, but then when you walk down and you look at that field and it looks like, you know, it's all striped up and painted and just perfect and stuff, because, you know, the hadn't been a player on it yet and stuff, and that just, you know, that would just that I really enjoyed that part. I would take time out of my day that on game day to, you know, go and do that at least for 10 minutes or so, you know, every game and stuff. And that was one of the things I really, really enjoyed. And just, you know, I think it's my whole tenure there that, you know, that I'm proudest about, you know, the from where I started to where I ended, you know, and knowing you had the respect of, you know, your other institutions were, you know, being with, you know, I mean, they tried to hire me away. So, you know, that's
the biggest compliment.
There's
no higher compliment
than that. Right.
That's right. So, what about personal?
Oh, personal. I guess, you know, I mean, it's probably, you know, like a lot of people say, it's, you know, it's your legacy, your children, you know. They probably don't think that at times, but, you know, it's just, you know, that you don't know how, you know, they change your life until you have a kid. So, yeah. I mean, that's really, that would be what I would have to say.
Yeah. So you've got two good ones. I'm close to both of them. So, you're very fortunate. They don't give you much trouble. I think the oldest has gave you a little driving trouble, bumping into things here and there. But
yeah,
you know, that's all good. You know, that we've all done that.
He had a little attention problem starting out driving, but, you know, hopefully those days are over.
That's right. That's right.
Now I got to worry about the next one. So.
That's right. See, when you were coming, when you started in turf, there was no apps and. You know, I sit down and think about me and you had this.
There weren't no apps. There weren't no phone. What are you talking about?
I know that. But I have these conversations for all the listeners. I usually call him at least once a day because I'm in the golf business now. And, you know, I get frustrated at certain things. So I'll call him and vent to him and show him what the greens look like. And from where they were when I started to where they are now, I'm very, very pleased about. But, you know, there's always things to go on. And I'll stop and say, hold on, I think it's going to rain. Let me check these apps. I got four apps. I'm going to check all four of them and get me see what they all overlap, and that's probably going to be what's going to happen. He's like, man, we didn't even have a daggone computer and the internet and none of that stuff. You just had to watch the news.
You had to look at the horizon and hope. I mean, the tools and stuff that you have today, it's so amazing. Just like, you know, things you talk about, you know, moisture meters and all of those different types of things and the stuff that you know that you have that you can find out information about just from the tip of your fingers, you know, with that phone in your hand. It's just, you know, you just don't realize how I mean, I think a lot of guys now just kind of take that for granted, you know
absolutely,
we've always had it, you know.
Absolutely.
And I just can't imagine how much easier, you know, it would have made my life back then that, right. You know, something that, you know, somebody that's in the turf field this day and time just, you know, doesn't even give a second thought to.
Yeah. There's a band of rain that's moving across from Charles or from South Carolina all the way to Maryland. So it's 100% going to hit us. Well, I'm going to go out here and put this wetting agent out because I know that it's coming, you know.
right. Or, you know, do I need to go, you know, cover the baseball field, pull the tarp out, you know, stuff like, you know, just all kinds of things like that, you know, we operated by the seat of our pants, you know. Right. We had no way to plan for anything like that. You know, it was, you know, okay, let's see if I can ground up 20 people within the next, you know, 5 minutes because looking over the top of the building there, the sky is black. So, you know, that's, you know, was my, how we dealt with it and stuff. And it's just, I mean, it's just amazing. And, you know, the technology and stuff that you guys have today and, you know, and
when you look at baseball for all the listeners,
social networks you have that you can talk with somebody and, you know, find out information and, you know, I'm having this problem and, you know, and somebody on the internet, you know, had that same problem, you know, and, you know, we just didn't have, you know, you had your couple of guys that, you know, you call on and, you know, or, you know, I, you know, call on my professors from NC State and stuff. And, you know, and that was it back then, you know, you just didn't have the wealth of, you know, knowledge that you can get a hold of in, you know, a mere second now.
Yeah, the resources weren't as readily available.
Right. It was, you know, you had to go to the office and pick up a phone and dial a number and hope you got somebody, you know, if you wanted to talk to somebody.
That's right.
You know, and now, you know, you're standing on the field, you take a picture of it, send it to him, and, you know, he looks at it and says, oh, yeah, you got such and such problem, or, you know, yeah, I got that part right here, stop, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you just don't realize, that, you know, the time saving that it saves, you know, you guys now versus what we dealt with back then and stuff. I mean, and, you know, I won't even talk about, you know, when I was at Duke, we had all hydraulic irrigation systems, and you know, that was the biggest nightmare. That probably gave me more sleepless nights than anything else that I had at Duke University and stuff, you know. And now, you know, you turn your irrigation on from sitting in your, you know, your chair at home at 9 o'clock at night, you know. I mean, it's just crazy to think of the technology from now to what I dealt when I first got into it and stuff. I mean, that still amazes me when, you know, the things that you talk about, you know, and say you've got and you're doing, I still am in awe of all of that every day.
Yeah, for all the listeners, we're big baseball fans. Him and his wife have tickets to Braves games. They did a package, a season ticket package. So when the World Series came around, we got tickets at a reasonable price and not $2,000 a piece. So we were able to go to game three and game five. And so we're big baseball fans. We didn't have to
get second market.
That's right. So we able to do that, and us being turf guys and being big Braves fans, and there's so many things in baseball. You're talking about technology. I mean, look at the cameras that they put in the edge of the bases.
Yeah.
All that stuff's – they have a hole in the ground, and there's a camera at home plate looking at the batter. And the,
right.
I mean, who would have ever thought that you could do that and see that from your TV and use that for a replay? And, I mean, just have fields – have these baseball fields that have – things that read the moisture on the clay from your phone. I mean,
just right. That's just so foreign to me. It's unbelievable. I mean, that technology now exists, but you know, more power to you guys. I mean,
and it's like in the golf, but in the golf world, you know, like Augusta National, everybody knows the Masters. They have something called sub air, and any golf guys listen know what sub air is. So it's this. Underneath the greens, they have these ventilation things. So when that green gets too wet, or that air might get stagnant, they can turn this thing on called sub air, and it will blow air in there to give it some air underneath that green. It's a really intricate process, and if you don't know anything about it, you should look it up. I'm not a professional on it. I don't have that at my course, of course, but it's very cool to watch and see how it operates. I mean, it has these little vent holes around there, and you can hear them running, and it's really neat.
Weren't you also talking about how they can control the temperature around the, like, the azaleas and stuff to have them in prime bloom?
Yeah, they do. They used to pack ice around them. They used to pack ice around the azaleas so they could time the blooming just right for the Masters. I have a friend that works there every year and been volunteering there for years. So that's the only reason I know some of this information. Hopefully this podcast doesn't get deleted for talking about Augusta National. Yes, some of those things are just, it's crazy to some of the things that you're able to do. I mean, I'm able to pull up on my phone what the humidity percentage is today, what the rate is, if it rains, and depending on the temperature, what the rate of evapotranspiration is, how easy that grass is going to dry out today compared to other day. I mean, you know, there's so many tools you can use. And like Darren knows about farming. So the other day we were talking about spraying, and some of these new sprayers, Textron, or old used to be Cushman or whatever, has a sprayer now. It's got a really nice GPS on it. And a lot of people, other Toro has them, John Deere has them, but the one I've seen work it in person is the one I'm talking about now. And it is so, the GPS on it is so good. If you get ready to overlap by accident, it will cut individual nozzles off, just like on a farming tractor. And we were just talking about just the other day, were we not, about how
playing the video game.
Yeah, it's how amazing it is to have that kind of technology. I mean, but that frees you up. You can put an idiot out there on that thing and just say, ride around this break. Just flip the switch on and just ride around. Just ride around. Yeah.
And I'm sure, in the future, they're going to have somebody, you know, that's going to be programmed too for where, you know, they don't even have to have a person on it. So,
yeah,
I mean, you'll just, you know, you'll send a tractor out and say, you know, go do the spraying and stuff. It's just, this technology is a wonderful thing, and it's a scary thing.
Well, it's a wonderful thing right now because you can't find enough people to work to run the daggum thing. So I wish they would create one that could go out there and spray and mow, because we'd buy it. I can tell you that. I could sleep in a couple mornings and just send it to start spraying, take a nap. it's the technology's come a long way, and we have these conversations all the time. But I think I never was around you working in turf. But I was able to hear your stories. Like when I was in high school, I would go stay with him for the summer, and he would talk about all these stories about turf and explain turf to me and different things like that. And that is what drove my passion. And then when I went to see, he lived in Atlanta when I in high school as well. That was one of y'all's three, four, five year stops. Yeah. You were in Cumming, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta. And I used to tell my friends, they're like, well, how'd you get into turf? Like, he wasn't working in turf at the time. I said, well, if you pull up Google Earth and pull up that neighborhood at that time, every yard in the neighborhood was dormant except for his. Every single yard in the neighborhood was dormant. And it was striped up. You could see that crap on Google Earth. You go there, they want a weed in the yard. He had tomatoes. He had his vegetables. They want the weed in the bed. The bed was edged out. The yard was always perfect. And it just was that transfer, that passion. That's where it lies. You know, it lied in the turf and in the aesthetically pleasing yard.
Well, and now I tell you, the older I get, I think, you know, I'm like the painter. The painter's house needs paint, and now I'm kind of like one of those guys. That, you know, I'm just, you couldn't pick my yard out from nobody's now, because, you know.
The house I just sold, man, it'd be lucky if I had grass in that thing. All my friends come over there and say, man, you made it some of the prettiest grass over there in Greenville. He said, what is up with your yard? I said, well, I mess with that crap all day long. I don't care about doing it when I get here. But I totally understand that. But you've recently done some sodding. You cut some trees out, sodded with some Tiff Tuft, right?
Yep. I've just put it in and stuff, and so far I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I've been hand watering greens. We'll be talking on FaceTime, and he'll be hand watering his Tiff Tuft. We'll be out there talking and hand watering together. So,
because luckily I've only got 3,000 square foot, so I've got a little tiny yard right now. So it's all push mow and a little bit of string trimming.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, other than that, I mean, I do have a question. If you would have had a warning label, like a bottle of chemicals, what would yours have been?
For chemicals just on anything?
Yeah, it's like a warning label, like a danger or high voltage or poisonous. Or like what, if anything, but not even a chemical, like what would your warning label be if you were assessing yourself and telling somebody, he's a good dude, he's a great manager, but let me tell you something, what you better not do. So what's your warning label?
Oh, I guess my warning label would have just been, you know, no liars allowed, because that was one of the things that just, I mean, to this day, you know, you can do a lot of things to me, and I don't usually get too upset. Well, as long as I'm not in the car on the road, but that's another subject.
Yeah, that's another podcast.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But, I'm the same way. We share that as well. So,
but you know, don't tell me one thing and do something else. That was the biggest thing for me.
Don't bullshit.
I mean, because I was, you know, my boss man at Duke used to tell me all the time, he's like, you know, we'd be, you know, 2 weeks out from the first game, and there'd be so many things to do. And he'd say, you know, I just don't understand how you're not more stressed out. I was just I was laid back, you know, because I took the approach of, we're going to work as hard as we can, and we're going to get done what we can get done. And whatever we can't get done,
it won't go get done anyway.
Right, right. It's not going to get done. There's no reason for me to stress out about.
And it took me years to learn that mentality.
And that was one of, you know, I think one of my best, you know, attributes about, you know, is just the outlook on it. You know, you're going to do what you can do, and you're going to do it to your fullest ability. But, you know, if everything don't, you're going to get the, you know, your highest priority things are going to get taken care of. And the things that's the bottom of the list, they're just, you know, they'll be there tomorrow.
That's right. Same. And that's for me, I perform the best under lots of pressure. Like something needs to be rushed and it's bad and this could be a disaster. I perform the best in those situations. I can crisis manage very well. And I don't get mad. I get mad about stupid crap. I get mad about just you walked into the shop, you got on the mower, and then you call me within 2 minutes and you said, man, the tire's off the rim. Well, I know damn well it was flat before you got on there if it's already off the rim. You know, excuse my language. But, I mean, you know, you didn't feel it going, vlo-vlo, vlo-vlo, vlo-vlo. You know, those kind of things drive me insane. If a hydraulic line busts, there was nothing I could do about it. If it wasn't leaking when you got on it, there's right. That happens. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. I mean, I had a boy recently flip a mower over on into a bunker. Darren knows, he saw the pictures of it. And he called me and he apologized. I told him I was not upset because he was trying. It's a sidewinder, so the deck slide over. And he was trying to get just as much as he could get so he didn't have to come back and weed eat. And I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm glad he didn't get hurt or anything. But, you know, I'm okay with him trying to be as efficient as possible.
Right.
That obviously turned into 2 days of a mower being down, but just so we can make sure everything was good before we fired it back up and checked the hydraulics and things. But, you know, those kind of things are okay. They're going to happen. Mowers are going to break down. Things are going to happen. Things are going to break. It's the things that you do that are careless and it becomes repetition. That's
right.
Yeah, it becomes a consistent thing that you're careless and make these same mistakes over and over. It's what I cannot handle. I would definitely say that there have been times where I have let my mouth go before I process what I needed to say first. Luckily, I haven't had to deal with that much now because I've learned over the years. I mean, I'm in my 14th year in the business. 15th year in the business. So I've learned that there's some things that you can't do. I used to, this is how I want it done. And then I would be like, so then I would find myself going and being in the middle of doing it. And I finally, in the past 4 or 5 years, said, you know what? Don't stand over these guys. If they don't do it just like I do it, but it still gets done, it's going to be fine. Right. You know, and it took me a long time to figure out that. And I'm not bashing the generation below me at all, but they're different. And they're different in the aspect of they're not going to put up with somebody yelling at them and doing all that kind of stuff. I grew up with that with my grandpa. You know, he yelled at me. He said, you know, this time is money and yes, go. And if you don't want to do it, you carry your ass to the house. I mean, that's pretty much how it worked. And so that's how I was raised. So I don't think anything of when somebody yells at me, it doesn't make me mad. I'm just like, whatever, bro. Okay. But some of these, this next generation is not going to put up with a supervisor doing that. Good for them. Right. They'll quit. They'll just say, "Well, I'm going home. I don't have to listen to this." And
well, that's very true. And see, that's something that's different from the time when I was working. Also, you could
get down on somebody a little bit.
I didn't have to deal with
entitlement.
Entitlement. This day and age, you know, the younger generation, you know, they think they're always thinking. I mean, that's a good thing, and you know, but sometimes.
Oh yeah, it's not all bad. I'm just But they are not as exposed to the, it's okay to just shut up and just do it kind of thing sometimes. And I've been very fortunate in my job. In both of my careers that I've had great, great help. Only like one or two problems in my 15 years, but I've been very fortunate. This crew that I've had now, one of them graduated, he was going to school at a local university. He just graduated. His name's Cole Parker. He is was an excellent employee. He's actually graduating. He's going to be in our, he was in the armed forces. He's actually going to be in law enforcement. God bless him. But he could have easily been an assistant superintendent or assistant sports field manager. I mean, he cared about it. He wanted to learn and he wanted to understand, and he picked everything up very quick. And not only that, he knew where to go to find out what he needed to know. He wasn't scared to ask a question, and he knew how to operate a business, like how things need to be on a schedule. And this was priority. He knew how to do, he had critical thinking skills. And that's one of the things I try to stress to people. If you can't think on your own, you're probably not going to make it in anything. You know, I don't need somebody to say, well, what do you want me to do now? What do you want me to do now? I mean, after 3 months of working here, you don't know what you need to do, you know?
Right. Well, you know, and that's kind of the biggest thing, I think, in, you know, in the turf industry is, you know, you get people that, you know, are not concerned about, you know, making the 9-to-5, you know, making the paycheck. They're more concerned with the end product. And that's, you know, that's when
that's
you really,
that's a very,
you know,
good point.
That's when you, you know, you see results. When somebody's more concerned about, well, what is this end product going to look like? You know, and that's the, when you get the crews that, that buy into that, you can tell those fields and you can tell those courses and stuff. And
that's right.
I mean, I always said, you know, growing turf, you know, the turf part of my job, that was the easiest thing that I did. It was the other, you know,
managing 70%
of the stuff that I had to deal with in my day-to-day job, you know, that was really the toughest part.
And it's become, managing people is always going to be tough.
Right.
That's always going to be a challenge.
And with me, it was because, you know, when you're dealing with so many different sports, you know, it ain't like, you know, you got, you're dealing with, you know, one coach, you know, you got one coach calling about this. I mean, I had five coaches calling about stuff, you know, all the time, you know. And so that was, you know, the tricky thing. And, you know, and you're always going to have a hierarchy, and, you know, and how you deal with that hierarchy, you know, you got to be able to talk to, you know, that lacrosse guy when, you know, the football coach says, you know, he wants something, and the lacrosse coach says he wants something. You got to be able to talk, be able to have that, you know, conversation with the, be able to deal with the lacrosse coach that, you know, I understand your needs and I'm going to take care of your needs, but the football is priority, you know, right now. I've got to take care of that, but, you know, that doesn't make your problem any less important. Right. And that was one of my biggest things that, you know, I really stressed, and, you know, I met with my coaches, and, you know, it's so easy to, I mean, if I could tell any of the newer, you know, generation, it's so easy to prevent something if, you know, you get on a good basis with, you know, have conversation. The communication is the key, you know. And, you know, I met with all my coaches regularly, you know.
You got to have a good communication line between you and your administration, whether it be coaches, right, HR, whatever.
Right. I mean, you know, with that is.
Well, I was getting ready to ask, what would you
to be successful?
I was getting ready to ask, what would you tell a young and upcoming turf professional? You just answered it for me. And I think that is a great answer. I mean, it's right. You got to be able to have that line of communication between your coaches.
I mean, because there's so many times that, you know, that I would find out stuff that, you know, normally, you know, I would find out in the, you know, 6 months ahead, where, you know, a coach would tell me, oh, yeah, by the way, we're planning on having, you know, this camp such and such this week. You know, we've got somebody coming in from Australia and, you know, stuff and all, you know, and we're going to have this big camp, where normally I would have found that out 2 weeks before the camp started, you know, just by, you know, meeting regularly and having just general conversations with them, you know. And that really, you know, was a key to my success at Duke throughout my tenure there,
right,
was, you know, really good communication with the coaches. And, you know, I had a great facilities director. I mean, he was almost like a second father to me. I mean, we worked hand in hand every day that I was there. I mean, yep. Tom DeArmile.
Yep.
He's passed on now, but he was really good to me and helped me out a lot when I first started there and stuff. So
I think that's an awesome way to wrap this up, but I have a couple questions that are personal questions that I ask everybody.
Okay.
Now, we got about 2 minutes left, so I'm going to ask them. If you win the lottery, what is the first thing you do, and what is your first non-essential purchase?
Essential. Oof. It's probably
listeners, this is the most financially conservative person that you'll ever meet. He's got his damn lunch money from like the second grade. I know he does. Instead of buying a refrigerator. He got a refrigerator that's like 20 damn years old. Instead of replacing the refrigerator, he'll buy the part for it. He'll get on the internet, he'll buy this part. He'll have the whole thing torqued for it, and he'll put the motor in and he'll put it back together. Still working.
Well, I still got my first new vehicle I purchased.
Yeah. And it's a what? 2000 F-150.
It's a 2000 F-150.
Yeah.
2001, excuse me. 2001. That's my daily vehicle still.
All right, so if you're going,
so I would think probably it's going to have something to do with probably a trip down to the Ford dealership. I'm probably going to buy a couple of cars, like maybe a Mustang and a new Bronco and who knows what else.
All right, well, what about your favorite meal? Your favorite meal? We got, and we're less than a minute.
It's going to be probably steak and shrimp.
Yeah. Well, I think that everybody's going to listen to this and they're going to want one more. They're going to want a couple more episodes. I can tell you that. I'm super relaxed in this because I feel like I don't talk to you every day. So,
well, right. This is probably the easiest one you've done.
Yeah.
See, what I need to do next time is I need to come on your show and interview the interviewee.
That's right. That's what we need to do. Yeah, that's a good idea because everybody always wants me to be interviewed, but they say somebody needs to do that. And you've mentioned that before, and some other people have too. So I think everybody's going to probably respond on Twitter and say, yeah, we agree. We think you need to be interviewed. So that's you'd be the best person to do it. And I'm just going to get you to come up with your own questions.
Oh, Lord. I'd sit down and think about that then.
Yeah. I'll send you my questions.
Because I know all the answers.
Yeah, because I already have some questions. Oh, I have questions that I already use, but it would take me like 5 minutes to answer those.
You've thought about them so much, right?
Yeah. Is that place is coming as dry as it is here?
It is dry as a bone right now.
Man, this has been a dry spring and into the summer I've ever seen since I've been in the business. So.
This probably so far has been our driest start to summer in 5 years. I mean, it's just like everything's missing us for some reason. I don't know why, but it'll eventually come.
That's right. You got a vacation coming up in a few days.
I'm ready too.
Coming to North Carolina, going to the beach, and I'm going to be there too. They're coming on Saturday before the 4th, staying till the Saturday after the 4th. And I'm going to work that weekend and me and my boss can kind of rotate. And then I'm going to leave that Monday night and the 4th of July night and come down. So
we're going to catch some fishes.
Yeah, we're going to go fishing. Me and Darren have had some pretty epic fishing trips, some pretty good ones. I got a 22-foot Seahawk. We caught a couple of days where it was slick calm. We went out there and caught, I don't know, 10, 15 bull dolphin. They're like 25, 30 pounds. They were huge. And then we've been out there before. It was so slick calm. We went out there. We were 40 miles from the inlet. We didn't even see a fish. Stay out there all day and see a fish. But we've had some pretty
beautiful conditions and no fish.
Yeah, too pretty, I think. We've had some cool things. And we go to NASCAR races together. We go to ball games together. I have the same sports teams. Well, that's one of them that I think I'm done with, but I don't know yet how I feel about it. But
I'll die with them. So
I will too. But I just it's not the same with them changing the name to the Commanders. I just don't like it.
Yeah, there's still people bucking it, and there will be forever.
But, oh, yeah, that's right. But we got the Braves.
And I'll still refer to them as their old name till the day I die. It's just, you know, it's in my for 50 years, it's all I ever knew. So, you know, and I grew up pulling for them since I was, you know, old enough to throw a ball. So, you know, because there weren't, when I was growing up in North Carolina, there weren't no Carolina Panthers. And,
that's right. So,
it's just been,
when I was born, even when I was born, there wasn't the Panthers. So, I mean, I was the same way. And, but we're both huge Braves fans. We watch every game. And we usually FaceTime at some point during the game. We're always on a group chat text with his family and mine. And me, I'm in their family group text. So we're always talking about the game on there. We both went to NC State, obviously. So we are extremely involved in every aspect of recruiting and looking at that and keeping up with it. And
Looking forward to going to a couple of those games this year.
Yeah, and we were able to go to the ACC tournament for the women's basketball. We're not going to talk about the men's team, but the women's team won the ACC tournament again. It was very fun to watch. I've become friends with some of the players, and it's been very cool process, very fun. And I ended up
a blast at that.
Yeah, I ended up buying a full season ticket package for next year's women's basketball. I had such a good time. There's not much that goes on in my life that this guy right here doesn't know about. So we're pretty close.
It's easy to say we have a lot of core interests.
Yeah, we do. We do have a lot of core interests, and we hardly ever argue, like, ever. It's usually about something stupid, about something about the game.
If we argue about something, it's about who's the best player or something.
Yeah, he hates Tom Brady, and I love Tom Brady, so I always antagonize him about Tom Brady. So that's one of the things that we do, but, I was saying that how I antagonize you about Tom Brady. I love Tom Brady. You don't like him at all. Yeah. So I always do that. I always make these comments. He's the greatest of all time. He's good at golf. He's got a pretty wife. He's got pretty kids. He's got pretty kids. Yeah. Win Super Bowls. You know, I always just give him a hard time. But we have a lot of core interest, and turf happened to be one of them as well. I have had questions over the years. So, well, what did you do back then? You know, those things still work, you know. Primo plant growth regulator in your paint, so you don't have to paint that line so much when you're
doing that. Yeah. I was doing that in the 80s.
Yep, that's the greatest thing.
I was one of the first people I know doing that.
That's one of the greatest things in the world you can do. I can say that. There's all kinds of things, and we're able to bounce ideas off of each other, whether it be something mechanical, and we can just about work on anything and fix it ourselves, and we're able to do a lot of that. And we both have simulators, the iRacing simulators that we race in. They're fun. We have a lot of things that we do together. So, this has probably been the easiest podcast for me to do because
it's what we talk about every day.
And it's not like I have it's not like I'm like, well, I don't know if this question is going to be awkward. I don't know if he's going to answer this. I don't have to think about any of that. I just knew what I didn't even have my template here that I normally ask questions about. Cause some of those are like current questions. And we talked about his career so much. I mean, one day when I was down there before I made my job transfer, we went to lunch and we ended up sitting there 2.5 hours talking about turf and jobs and how things had changed. And all we did was go to a place that had hamburgers and fries. And we ended up sitting there for 2.5 hours. It's been a pleasure having you up here. This was exciting, and I know everybody else is going to like it too. So, Because I'm extremely relaxed in this. So I'm not, there's not any awkward moments of silence that I've had or anything like that, that I've had to go in and crop or anything. I'm going to take this one, download the file and send it on. It's going to be,
this is just, you know, the chill out process, the process of your podcast, you know?
Yeah. And I have bent grass, greens at the course that I'm located in. My irrigation hit, one of my pumps has gone down, so I've had to let all the fairways and tee boxes go, and we're just watering greens. So the month of June has been very much of a struggle, and I haven't had time to really, I got a couple of guests that are going to be on in the next couple of weeks, but I was like, you know, this is the perfect opportunity for me to do this podcast with there, and this is the perfect opportunity because I haven't had time to sit down and really do some of those because I've been working some crazy hours. So
yeah, I mean, what this came up in what, like 30 minutes you decided to do this, so it's not like this is, you know, anything thought out or, you know, long thought out plan process. It's just, you know,
I thought about
guys sitting around talking.
That's right. I thought about it. I said, this is gonna be a great idea, this will work good. I appreciate everybody listening, and Darren, I appreciate you being up here. I know you had a really busy day. It was hard for you to find the time to get up here.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Anyway, I'm sure I'll talk to you. What time is it? 5:40. Yeah, I'll probably talk to you in about, hold on, let's see, 40 an hour and 40 minutes
is game time.
7:20 is first pitch, 7:22 or something. So I'm sure I'll talk to you at some point. Anyway, well, thank you for being on here, and I'll see you in a few days.
Okay. Look forward to the beach.
That's right. All right.
All right.
We'll see you. Well, that's it, folks. That was a blast. We're definitely going to do a podcast and him interview me. I appreciate everybody being patient. Again, I can't stress that enough. I know that they have podcasts haven't been coming in as consistent as some of you would like, but I think we got on a good schedule now and got some good motivation and some good things going and some good guests lined up. So I appreciate the continued support, and please give our sponsors a follow. I cannot stress that enough. Sod Solutions, Agstone, Netting Professionals, Turf Mend, Benchmark Tool and Supply. If you're in the Raleigh area in the Carolinas, please give Benchmark Tool and Supply, go check them out. Also Agstone, they can get you product anywhere, but they are located in the Carolinas, and they are a great company and even better people. These people are like family to me. Turf Mend as well. Jeff, he's become like family to me. It's really cool to see what he's done with his business and his career, and you should really check him out. Not only Will Miner with Netting Professionals has been, he's been an inspiration as well. He's been very supportive. That company's been very supportive of this podcast. And newcomer, Sod Solutions, that whole organization as a group has been great. Everybody there that I met at the National STMA was, or SFMA, was great. They're a great company. Please give them a follow. Go check out their website, see what they have to offer. Again, thank you everybody for your support. Get these sponsors a listen here, and we'll see you next time. Thank you. Agstone is focused on providing its customers with more than just a great product. Offering a surprisingly affordable full-course wetting agent that is 98% biodegradable, reduces LDS, increases nitrogen uptake, and has no burn potential. One chemistry, multiple benefits. Agstone stays with you every step of the way, helping analyze and maximize potential through our products, technical knowledge, and customer support. To get more information, visit www.ag-stone.com, www.ag-stone.com, or email sales@agstone.com, and
ag-stone.com.
This segment is brought to you by TurfMend. TurfMend is a patch repair product developed by a former golf course superintendent, designed for professional turf managers and homeowners alike to fill in those bare spots or worn areas of turf. TurfMend helps you save time and money by using high-quality professional ingredients so you will never end up with weed seed in your repairs. TurfMend is now available in two different formulations. One, with USGA specs saying peat moss and grass seed, or the second formulation, which has OMRI listed compost, peat moss, and grass seed. TurfMend is proudly sourced and blended in the USA. Repair the bear with TurfMend and go to www.turfmend.com for more information. That's www.turfmend.com, and make sure to reference Dirt on Turf when you place your order to get 10% off. Repair the bear with TurfMend. Benchmark Tool and Supply was founded over 15 years ago and have established themselves as experts in the GPS construction industry ever since. They're excited to bring their expertise into the sports turf management and landscaping world. Their recent partnership with ABI has allowed them to bring that knowledge into an industry that has seen the rapid adoption of GPS and automation technology. The ABI Force Z23 is an all-in-one field groomer and landscaper's dream tool. The ability to bring laser precision to ball field grading is changing the way the game is played at every level. When it comes time to step up your turf maintenance and line marking, turn to the GPS pros who have years of experience helping experts get the job done right the first time. Call Benchmark Tool and Supply today at 866-342-7665.
Well, that's it for today's episode. Again, I'm your host, Chris Toppings, with the Dirt on Turf podcast. And before we leave you, let me remind you about netting professionals. It doesn't matter what kind of netting you need, whether it's for a batting cage, a dugout, driving range, backstops, check out netting professionals. Go to their website, www.nettingpros.com, or follow them on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn. You don't want to miss out with these people. Give them a call. Let them give you a price. They'll take care of you. Until next week, I'm Chris Toppings. We'll see you then.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dirt Turf Podcast.